I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Have no place to go.
6/11 Walk of Fame Day. Baby. Show number 1,148. The festivities have already begun. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have arrived. Everyone's wearing their fascinators. Justin Coffin, no fascinator for you?
You just can't see it.
It's an invisible fascinator?
It's underneath my clothes.
It's crazy. You know what a fascinator is, don't you?
I don't, but I tried. It was a good
fancy,
stab, wasn't it?
It's a fancy hat.
It's like a derby hat.
It's on, yeah, well,
very
then I,
weird
it's under
that
my
you would have that underneath
it's under
your
my clothes.
Clothes.
Yes, it is.
John DeCoste joins us. John, good morning to you.
Good morning. My fascinator is under Justin's clothes.
See?
Yesterday, on the program, Eric Edelstein was here.
Was he upset?
Eric Edelstein goes
something.
Eric Edelstein, what did he say? He said something like, "Anybody working on anything for me?" Wasn't that?
Yeah, and then he talked about his mom. He said something about his mom.
That was it. That was it. Yeah. So he's got a brother who's very successful in Hollywood.
He's got an actor.
He's on private. He's on private practice. He's in the new show with Amy Poehler.
I wrote one for him.
Yeah. That's not helpful. He said his mom has never been proud of him and always liked his brother better.
Yeah. It was a long story.
She went home and told him that he was going to get a theme song, or told her that he was going to get a theme song.
Okay.
So. It probably didn't help we played the Pat Brady theme song twice.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Did the mayor's podcast yesterday. Got some stories to tell you about that. But let's get to the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Well, I hope for you is that you have a job wherever you're going this morning that's as fun as mine, and you get to leave at 10. Wait, how long do I have to be here today? 11:30? 12? Slave drivers. Item number one, this is a weird one. The Washington Post and the New York Times are both reporting that a story has propped up from a guy who may have heard something.
Right.
That's the essential summation of the fact that a report came out yesterday that the Trump campaign may have had an embed from the FBI to provide information on what was going on within the campaign. That's what you'll see on Fox News. That's what you'll hear from Sean Hannity. That's what you'll hear people who want to toe the Trump line over and over again. Here's the truth. The truth is somebody who once served in the Justice Department, somebody who once worked in the same office as Rudy Giuliani, is speculating based on some information and the Christopher Steele dossier that there may have been someone that was embedded in the Trump campaign. What we actually know to be fact is that there was an investigation that went on that was totally appropriate. The investigation by the FBI doing the job they were hired to do to look at George Papadopoulos. And who's the crazy bald guy that wouldn't shut up? The other guy that was indicted early?
Carter Page.
Carter Page. Carter Page and George Papadopoulos were both deeply on the radar of the FBI. This is in the fall of 2016. And the FBI would have been derelict in their duties if they did not investigate. And if that meant putting somebody in the Trump campaign, that means they were doing their job. Mm-hmm. So this is just, the reason I bring this up as a first item is, this is why we have such a stark contrast between facts and reality. This isn't fake news, this is actual news. And the actual news is, here's what the FBI is supposed to do, here's why the FBI is good at their job, this is what they investigated. The president is now threatening to reveal the source, whoever this source was. He can do that because he's president. Christopher Wright, Chris Wright, yeah, the FBI
Ray.
Director.
Chris Wray.
Chris Wray, the FBI director, very early, folks. Chris Wray, the FBI director, said yesterday, you start revealing sources, this country's less safe immediately.
It's 2018 where we investigate the investigations.
Right.
So that's what you need to know. That's the truth of what happened yesterday.
And Steve, couldn't that also have been somebody who was actually working in the campaign who became a criminal informant?
Yeah.
Because of something went wrong?
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely true. Next, wouldn't it be funny if it was Giuliani?
Oh, God.
Heated, make a lot of sense.
Heated debate yesterday on the second floor of City Hall. I thought it was probably about me doing the podcast. Turns out it wasn't.
When you got there and saw the heavy police presence, did you think they were providing for your security?
I really did.
Yeah.
City Planning Commission approved the Obama Presidential Center after, I believe I have this number right, over 300 people signed up to make public statements and speak starting at 10 o'clock yesterday morning.
Right, and they gathered outside City Hall about 6 o'clock, as this show was starting yesterday morning, is when they started gathering there. And I did not
expect... It was more popular than the royal wedding.
Didn't you? I never, ever saw this facility being this polarizing. I really didn't.
Well, I think two things. One is I think people have legitimate concerns, but secondarily, I think the... but what is it? The People for the Parks?
Protect Our Parks.
The Protect Our Parks group are really good at assembling folks to be upset. I'm not saying they're making this up, but their concerns are based on a technicality.
Sure.
The mayor and the mayor's office say this is thousands and thousands of jobs.
Right.
And the technicality is the actual Obama papers wouldn't be in the library, therefore it's not a library, therefore you don't have a right to put it here.
Right. They're calling it a digital archive.
Yeah. Well, it is 2018.
They just opened up. They opened up by doing that. They opened up a chance for them to argue it in court.
Sure.
If they didn't, if they would have tied that up, it would have given those groups not much to stand on in terms of filing lawsuits.
I think the decision that has to be made is Jackson Park going to be left to wither and die, or is there going to be development there, as there has been around the University of Chicago, to improve the area?
Right. Right. So. And they took great pains to select this site. I mean, it was between Jackson Park and Washington Park, and they thought that this would revitalize this area at greater speed.
And that golf development is still on, too, right?
Yeah, that's still on. Yeah, the Tiger Woods thing.
Mm-hmm. Next, Carson, 3,500 employees out, closing all its stores in Illinois. Do you ever think you'd see the time where Carson's closed?
No. My dad worked at Carson's.
My dad did, too.
Yeah. Right there on State Street.
What Amazing. About Perry Scott?
Perry Scott's doing fine, but Carson's is definitely in trouble. Next, FDA approval of the first medicine designed to prevent migraines. The drug's called Imovig. No, I'm not a Vig. Aimovig. I believe it's pronounced Imovig. Imovig is a monthly injection with a device similar to an insulin pen. List price right now, early out of the gate, $6,900 a year.
Wow.
Now, there are a lot of people who suffer migraines. God bless you. I've never had them, and I wouldn't want to go anywhere near them. Anybody on this show have migraines?
I used to.
My wife used to have them.
Yeah.
Incredibly debilitating.
The pain would just be awful.
Patty Vasquez had migraines for a long time, and I believe I'm right about this. She tried something called the blood type diet, which was a diet specific to her blood type that made a difference. If I'm remembering that story correctly. Anyway, people will try almost anything, and $6,900 a year is a ridiculous price. But if you have migraines, I bet you'll find a way to pay it.
Yeah.
Next, 25-year-old woman lives in Lakeview, had to call police yesterday when 7 pounds of weed was delivered to her house.
Oops.
That's that new Amazon Weed Prime.
$33,000 worth of pot is what it was.
But free shipping.
Was that meant for me?
But free shipping.
It's just free shipping.
What's was that meant for me? I didn't know that was meant for me.
How'd you like to be the neighbor? Like, I think my stuff came to your house.
Yeah.
Hey, this is awkward.
Didn't she say, too, she thought it was a joke from her sister? I thought, who does a $33,000 joke?
Right. You have siblings.
Right.
You know it's going to be.
It's that old 7 pounds of pot joke.
The old 7 pounds of pot joke.
And
when
one more.
Get you.
Quack me. And the groom's father. Prince Charles will walk Meghan Markle down the aisle. I think it's just a cool story.
Super cool. I love that.
Meghan Markle's dad had heart surgery this week and is not able to make the wedding. By the way, her half-sister appears to be a bit of a nut. She's in the hospital now, too.
Oh, no.
Aren't all our half-sisters a little bit of a nut?
You can't choose your family.
Yeah,
right? I don't know. But this is a cool story. Prince Charles will walk Meghan Markle down the aisle tomorrow, and the wedding is what? What time our time? 4 a.m.?
Yeah, 5 a.m.
I think it starts at 5.
And you're covering it on Channel 9?
Yeah, I'll be at a royal watch party in Rogers Park, and Kim Gordon loaned me her fascinator. So I don't need to yours or John's.
You'd have to wash mine. That's the only issue.
Yeah, considering where John and yours have been, I wouldn't want to.
You could be at the watch party, Steve.
You know, I'm good.
Steve, would you like to come to the watch party?
Thank you for inviting me, but I won't be able to make it. Paul Coyle will join us in just a little bit. The Top 6 at 6 is now complete.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Celebrations all over the place, including Walk of Famer Lou Manfredini, who will not be able to join us today for a very good reason. Where are you and what are you doing?
I do have a good excuse. I'm sad I can't be there, but our daughter, Carmen, graduated from NYU. She graduates Wednesday, had graduated at Yankee Stadium on Wednesday, and then her school graduation is this morning in New York at Radio City Music Hall. Yeah, very excited.
She's getting the coveted sitting ovation.
Correct. I'll let her know.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. And what good news for you, NYU tuition going away.
Yeah, well, that's two down, two to go.
That's great. Now, what's she going to do? Do we know?
She is already working. She actually graduated a semester early, which was really nice for mom and dad. And so she moved out to Los Angeles and is working for MGM.
Wow. What's she doing for MGM?
She ultimately wants to write, but currently she has a job, which is very interesting, in delivering movies and content. So evidently, when they do all this work and put a movie together, she's on a team of people that make sure it has all the things that are connected to it. So she's in the entry-level role, but it's all good.
Well, in other words, Dad doesn't understand the job, but he's very proud of her.
I don't really understand it well, but you know what, Steve? As a father, when your kids go to college and then they get a job...
That's very cool.
It's all good.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And a good excuse to go to L.A. occasionally. So nothing wrong with that either. All right, we'll get to Tom, the first caller, in a second. Justin Kaufman's with us this morning because he doesn't have a show tonight because the White Sox are playing, and I always say, get out of bed and come in,
thanks for that, Steve.
So he's in here this morning as well. So let's go to Tom and get things started here with Tom in Palos Hills. Tom, I think you know if you listen to Lou on Saturdays, tough to get in. You got to know somebody.
Yeah, that's why I called on Friday.
That's right. First caller, what do you got?
I tried to clean the salt off my garage floor over the long winter. I power washed it, and it looked good for a day, but then all the salt crept back in. And this has been a couple of seasons this has been going on. So I don't know if there's a way to seal it after the power washing, but before it creeps in, or if there's some kind of product that can draw all the salt out of the concrete completely.
Yes.
Stand by 1 second here, Tom. All right, go ahead, Lou.
Here's what I would do. If you use a product like CLR, which is designed to neutralize the calcium, buy a gallon jug of that, put it in a bucket with warm water, and then use a deck scrub brush and kind of scrub it all in. It'll froth up a little bit. Let it sit there for, 10 minutes or so. Then rinse it. Then once that rinses away and the floor dries, I want you to seal it with a product called Bone Dry Sealer. And you can buy that online. Or certain hardware stores carry it, but it's not an inexpensive product, but it actually penetrates the concrete about an inch.
Wow.
And it goes in and seals it, and you can use it both inside and out. It's a commercial product that's now available residentially.
So it's like when a prescription drug comes off patent. Now everybody can get it.
Right, exactly right.
When you say not inexpensive, what are we talking about?
A gallon of it's like $70.
Well, you can do that.
So, a gallon of the typical Thompson's water seal is, $12.99. So people are a little shocked when they see it. But this is a product that commercial flooring contractors use in, retail stores. And the commercial product, which is a little bit different version, but this has the same attributes. They offer a lifetime warranty on the floor never penetrating water.
And it
is cool.
And how much of it do you need to do a driveway?
A driveway, the average driveway, you could probably get away with a gallon because you put it in a pump sprayer, you dampen the concrete, and then you just spray it. So a gallon might do a driveway. A gallon will definitely do a garage.
We'll get some textures here in just a second. By the way, Tom, a big winner. He gets that fancy Wi-Fi situation. What is that again, Lou?
It's the Wi-Fi thermostat that you can control the temperature from your any smartphone anywhere in the world.
And who's that from?
It's from American Weather Makers.
That's it. That's it. Justin, I don't know your living situation. An apartment, a condo, a house?
What
do you live in?
I have a townhome.
You have a townhome.
And there's very little I need to do, which is perfect for me.
But so when you pay an association fee?
Yes. But when I do have to do something around the house, I try to put on my best Manfredini.
Yeah. And do you have any questions?
I don't. I probably off air I'd have questions for Lou. My questions really have to do with...
personal life?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How do I be happy, Lou?
Lou, what are the keys to happiness? And can you get those keys copied at Ace Hardware?
There's three things to be happy.
Oh, I'm waiting.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you're
right.
You gotta have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have something to love,
mm-hmm.
and you gotta have something to hope for.
Oh, that's great.
Boy, you are in a phase of your life with this graduation where you're very reflective.
I am.
And retrospective and other things that end in IVE.
You should do both a home improvement show and a love advice show at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
And now Zen with Lou Manfredini. John, what's your question for Lou? John.
Good morning, Lou. Quick question, Lou. I have a sliding glass door that goes to the patio. The track is horrible. Who do I call to have that fixed?
Justin Kaufman.
Okay. How do you spell
the inside, John? The inside of your sliding glass door. There's two little tabs on the horizontal rail of the door.
Okay.
And if you either put a screwdriver in there or you pop those off with a little screwdriver, there are two adjustable screws in there. And if you put a Phillips screwdriver or an Allen wrench, depends. You have to shine a light in there, and you literally just click it once to the right. Each one of those wheels. It's going to lift the door up on the roller, and you'll probably solve the problem yourself.
Oh, my God. Who knew that?
Clean the track first. You know, do a little vacuuming and just wipe it. Do not put any oil on the track. Just wipe it with a clean rag. Do this two little click, and I bet the door works fine.
Now, would that work for, like, for instance, I have a closet. Like, I think they're called accordion doors, right? They fold out.
Yeah.
Light bulb doors?
Yeah, well, that too. So if one side of those is not opening properly, would that also be a Allen wrench and a wheel click?
Well, if it's a bifold door where it pivots, you know, on the wall to kind of fold out, there's an adjustment on the bottom part that is actually pivoting. That if you lift that door up a little bit and then you, you would loosen that screw. That would allow it lift the door a little bit so it doesn't drag on the carpeting. And those are also adjustable. The bottom has a little adjustable tongue on it where you can lift the door up and adjust it left or right a little bit to get it to open more properly.
Steve, I can come over and do this for you because I've done that at my house.
So. Hey, do you have the same problem?
Yep.
All right.
Mary has bifold doors. I've seen the pictures.
Okay. All right, thanks. So I got Sandberg coming over. John, you got Justin coming over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Everybody looks like they're set. One more.
I'm over, but I'm a little far away.
No, you got some important stuff. 815, I have dark stains on my wood windows from condensation over the winter. Other than sanding, what do I do?
You can try a product called Howard's Restore a Finish and Quadruple Zero Steel Wool, but the dark staining is probably a little mildew absorption into the wood. Actually, you know what? Before you do the Howard's Restore Finish, try a product called Concrobium Mold Control. Spray that on, let that sit for a little bit, and then use a little Scotch-Brite pad gently with the grain of the wood. Allow it to dry, then use the Scotch-Brite pad, and that may remove the stain, and then spray it again so there's residual value so the mold doesn't come back. If that doesn't work, then you have to sand it.
Congratulations to your beautiful daughter and to your whole family.
Thank you so much. Have a great day at the Hall of Fame, and congratulations to all the recipients, in particular Mary Vandeveld, your very own Mary Vandeveld. Yeah.
By the way, Mary's off this morning, and one of our texters is worried, said, should we check and see if she's napping in her car?
Oh, good question.
I would be.
Yeah, that's very true. Enjoy the day.
Thanks, Lou.
Have fun today. Thanks.
All right, there you go. By the way, it's the Walk of Fame.
Yes,
not the Hall
of Fame.
And
he's in it, so he ought to know that.
You think he'd know.
We should start taking some of these stars away.
Paul, you know what? You're right.
Right?
One more mistake, you lose your plaque.
Exactly.
We're coming back with you doing the headlines, and then Paul Coit will join us live from London in his Fascinator on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And we'll never be royal. It's a one in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us.
Prince Philip insists that this be played tomorrow.
Let me be your ruler.
Prince Philip, I believe, is 114. He will be at the royal wedding tomorrow, which is great news. He just had his hip replaced like a couple of months ago. He's a tough dude. Mm-hmm. So, now let me ask you a true or false question. Must Prince Philip always walk two paces behind the Queen in public? True or false?
I think it's true.
True.
True?
I think it's true.
True?
True. False. True.
You're going with both? Because it's actually
bases.
True.
You sound like my media libel professor.
Let me go to Paul Coit on this, my favorite Londoner live from London. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Happy wedding weekend. And is it two paces? Is that accurate?
No, 2 miles.
Wow. I had no idea I was that far off. That is absolutely remarkable.
Cameras just zoom in, so that's why he looks so small. That's what it is. So he's and going to be bowing all time. 2 miles distance.
We will play the royal wedding game with Paul in just a moment. It's a simple true-false game. Carol is a contestant. Carol, stand by. Is excitement building? Is there a buzz about the city?
You know what? There actually is. It's ridiculous. There's people camping out. There's people out on the streets trying to get a good space along the road so they can see everything. It's bananas. Honestly, I really did not imagine it to be this huge. But everybody's going wedding crazy, and it's driving me around the twist, quite frankly.
Do me a favor, would you spell bananas? B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Let me hear how that sounds in your accent.
Yeah, B-A-N-A-N-A-N-S.
Well, you got a couple extra.
Exactly the same.
You're very, very close.
Bananas.
Now, Prince Charles is apparently going to walk Meghan Markle down the aisle because Meghan Markle's family is a little wackadoodle. Is that creating any sort of stir?
I don't know about stir, but I'll tell you what is weird, though, is that he's not actually going to do it from the start, from the front of the church. He jumps in halfway through. So it's thought that she's going to go to get out the car, the carriage, and enter the church. So there'll be the six bridesmaids around her. Then she walks halfway down the aisle, and that's when Charles will step in to take her the rest of the way. So why? It's a royal protocol, a wedding thing. I don't know, but that's what he will do. So he will take her, obviously, to his son. But I don't know why mothers. Why wouldn't it not be the mother? That still doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you would think. And the mother is having tea with the queen today. It's the first time she's meeting the queen. Now, is there a difference between regular tea that you've served me at your home in London and high tea?
Yeah, the only difference is that you get it. I made it for you with a tea bag, which for me, being a commoner, is my favorite cup of tea. So you have the tea, obviously with milk. None of this messing around with like lemon tea and no milk. That's not tea. That's just ridiculous. And don't start me off on that again. You've got to have your tea bag. Give it a little couple of minutes, a little bit of a push, then add some milk, and that's a proper cup of tea. So that, she'll have it with tea leaves. So she'll have a tea strainer poured through, probably in a big pot. So that's the only difference. It tastes pretty much the same, but it's just a posher way of doing things.
Is there an etiquette thing that goes with high tea?
Yes, you have to drink with your little pinky sticking out, Steve.
Oh.
Yeah. We can teach you how to do that.
Yeah.
If I'm willing to do
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Justin, say hi to Paul.
And also, hi, Paul.
Be careful you don't... You've got to be careful you don't like too much of that. Just
No slurping.
Slurping is really... quite frankly, a treasonable offense. You don't slurp in front of the queen, whatever happens. No matter how slurpable the tea is, just don't slurp.
So if you were to say, if you were to say, hey, Q, bitchin' cup of tea, that's probably not the way to act at high tea.
I think the queen would probably get away because she probably wouldn't know what you're saying.
Yeah, probably
she's
be fine.
She's trying to change the royal family. So
she is. She's trying to bring it into kick it forward.
19th century.
Andre, a question for Paul.
Paul, I'm just curious. I'm attending a royal watch party here tomorrow. We're making such a big deal of this here. Do you have royal watch parties there? And will there be television set upside or TV screen set up outside the palace or outside the church?
Or will you do a live recreation in performance mode?
That would be awesome, Paul.
Yeah, there's going to be loads of people. It's on everywhere. I mean, everybody's going to be watching. I don't know where they're going to have wedding parties, I'm really not too sure about that, because I probably won't. But, you know, because the thing is, we had the Eurovision Song Contest last week, so that's people are already best. Having parties for that. We can't over
the best.
Be a party. Because obviously you've got the Eurovision Song Contest at the top and then the Royal Wedding under that.
Everyone in the world should see the Eurovision Song Contest once in their life.
Oh, yeah.
It is just so fantastic. You've seen it, Justin?
I have, yeah. And I had a friend who was in it.
Come on!
Yeah.
What country?
No,
she wrote a song, and she had written songs in the winter. I forgot. I don't know.
For what country?
I should have paid more attention. It was she
oh,
was.
My goodness, this is the bigger news of the Royal Wedding.
I know, and she's a great writer, and she's a great songwriter. She's
and
in LA now.
And you're about it. I can't believe.
I know. Gosh, man, it was about 5-10 years ago, and I can't remember the country.
Well, what are we talking about? Liechtenstein, Luxembourg,
yeah, something like that. It was like it was like Norway or something like that. I don't remember. Sorry. I'll look it up.
It was cold?
It was cold.
It was cold.
It was a good song.
It's one of those cold countries.
And yeah. They treated the songwriter well. I just remember that. So
The Eurovision Song Contest. You have no idea how entertaining this is.
I see this.
It's the most. And also, you can always guarantee, I know we're going slightly off here, but you can always guarantee that Great Britain, no matter who is entered, you know, the United Kingdom, we could have Elton John in it. We've tried everybody in it. We will always come in the bottom three because everybody hates us.
Yeah,
so
true.
We always.
Because it's like American Idol voting. You phone vote around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now obviously you click and vote.
Right.
But it's fantastic. All right, we come back. We're going to play the Royal Wedding Game. Carol, hold on. I really like your chances of winning, Carol. It's the True or False Royal Wedding Game.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Forever can never be long enough for me. I feel like I've had long enough with you. Forget the world now. We won't let them see. But there's one thing left to do.
Nice song, isn't it?
Oh,
cute little British fella, Harry Styles.
Has lifted.
Paul Coy, you're often confused for Harry Styles, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Drives me crazy. I knew that. As soon as you play that, you're going to start coming up with that Harry Styles thing. Enough already.
By the way, we have good news. The Justin Kaufman
yes.
best friend or good friend wrote the winning song.
Acquaintance.
The winning song for the 2010 Eurovision Song Contest, the worldwide song contest that nobody in America knows, but everyone in America should. And the song is from an artist called Lena, which apparently turned out to be a hit. And, Paul, I don't know if you remember it or maybe played it on the radio, but here's a little bit of it. So far, it's great.
So far.
I went everywhere for you. I even did my hair for you. I bought new underwear like blue when I wore them just the other day.
Do you remember it, Paul?
No. Suppose I was on holiday when that came out, that one. I don't remember that one.
Suppose it was a hit.
Sweet or cool, I'm gonna
Lena.
Love you either way. Love, I love, I gotta tell you, I'll be the
ball. Oh, it's snappy. I could see me singing it all summer.
Yeah. What you don't know is the acquaintance friend, it was an ex-girlfriend of mine, so that song's about me.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
very Spice Girlish.
Yeah.
Is it really? Like, you should have led with that, Justin.
Yeah, I know. I buried the lead on that. They're all about... When she's a great writer,
right.
and we dated a long time ago. So every time any song comes out, I'm always like, that's about me.
Of course it is.
Awesome.
Wow.
All right, let me go back to Carol here. Go to Carol. Carol, thanks for your patience. Here's the premise. I will give you a true or false sentiment on royal wedding and royal behavior etiquette. All you have to do is tell me if it's true or false, but we will discuss each item before to help you come to your answer. Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
And thank you for being on the show. Thank you for listening. All right, Paul.
Thank you for your show. I love it.
Oh, well, you're very nice. Paul, item number one, Paul, does the chin matter? Does the chin of a Brit matter while walking downstairs? Because here is my premise. The chin, while you're descending a staircase, must be parallel to the ground with your hands at the side.
What?
Is that true or false?
True.
Chin. You know what? They often call these very posh people chinless wonders. So I'm not sure whether it would be true, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be too sure.
Justin, Dave, Andre, any thoughts?
I'm going to say true. It sounds so specific.
Yeah, I say true as well.
There's too much math in that.
Carol, you're correct. It's
Woo!
True.
Yes.
Carol, you've already won one of the many prizes I'm about to bestow on you. Paul, Paul, when it comes to curtsying, when it comes to curtsying,
whom, I'm very good at that.
Whom must Meghan Markle bow to? Whom must she curtsy to? And how does one curtsy? That's the bonus question.
One curtsy. Is it what, a double, what, is it A and B part of the question?
Yes, it is.
Right. Well, she'd, she'd curtsy to the Queen. Everybody, even the Queen curtsies in the mirror. She's so cool.
She curtsy to the Queen.
About her. She'd curtsy to the Queen. And also, it's one foot. Yeah, I think the left foot is forward, the right foot slightly back and to the side, and then a very delicate bend.
Yeah,
and that's your curtsy.
One leg goes behind the other, your knees gently bend, and you slightly bow your head. And by the way, you're not supposed to be too obvious about it, and you're supposed to curtsy longer to the Queen than you do other people. All right, so Carol, here's your question. When it comes to curtsying, who does Meghan Markle curtsy to? Is it everyone in front of her in the order of providence, the order of succession to the throne? Is that true or false?
That is false. She has to bow, or she has to curtsy to born royals. She has to curtsy to Prince Andrew's daughters because they're born royal.
All right, anyone else?
I'm going with Carol.
I'm not arguing with that.
Carol seems to know quite a bit here.
A lot of confidence dripping from that. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Carol, you could be correct, but according to my notes, she has to curtsy to anyone ahead of her in the order of providence. And based on your explanation, I'm going to say you're right anyway. Congratulations, Carol.
That's basic. Everyone knows. That's basic.
Yes.
That's basic.
All right, Paul, we have one more. Will Meghan Markle...
I'm not doing so well, am I?
Really? No, I don't even think you're British. Will Meghan Markle share in the requirement to carry a black dress with her whenever she travels? Because if someone dies, you'll need it. Is that true or false, Paul?
You know what? That would make perfect sense. Can you imagine being somewhere as, in your phrase, Steve, Chuck gets their hat.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a little floral off the shoulder number. How on earth is that going to go down?
Well, first off, Chuck would look great in a floral off the shoulder number. I think we can agree on that. A black outfit, a black dress. Do the royals have to carry that with them whenever they travel? True or false?
I say true.
True?
I say false. They got people to go get her a dress if
what,
she needs.
What, to Target?
Yeah.
Swing by Kohl's?
H&M?
I think it's true, and I think that's just common for everybody. Everybody should have that.
Everyone should have a black dress on them at all times?
I'm picturing the Queen at Target.
Carol?
It is true. When Princess Elizabeth had married... She was on tour with her prince consort in Australia, I believe, when her father died, and she did not have a black outfit with her. And so after that, when they travel, they must bring one black outfit.
How do you know? You're exactly right.
I saw that on The Crown, but they sent someone to get her a black outfit.
She is exactly... How do you know this, Carol?
Because I am one, my grandparents are from
You're
Scotland.
You're the queen,
Auntie
Carol.
I still feel a very close tie to being, you know, having relatives from Scotland.
Sure, British blood.
I just know this stuff. I'm fascinated by it.
Congratulations, Carol. You have a fabulous collection of prizes here. Paul, I believe we have someone on the show now who knows more about your country than you do.
Hey, listen, you know more about my country than I do.
Okay, well, that's actually true. Will you watch the wedding, Paul?
Yeah, of course I will. There's one thing to look out for, which I think I should mention. And of course, Harry wears a beard. But if you get married in an army uniform, it actually states that you must be clean shaven. So I would look out for that because there's a chance if he's actually in uniform, he cannot wear a beard.
Wedding pro tip.
Beard and uniform.
That's a pro tip from Paul on the wedding. How about that?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's real, too.
Yeah, Carol, I bet you didn't even know that one.
No, I didn't, but I bet you the Queen could override that because she is, after all, the Queen.
Oh, man, Carol's strong.
She's on it.
There's
always a Queen Trump, right?
Paul, I love you. I'll talk to you later. Happy wedding.
Good to speak to you. Thanks, Carol. I'm slightly intimidated.
Thank you. Bye, Paul.
By the way, I love Paul's other note that the queen actually curtsies to herself in the mirror. I mean, who knew that?
We need to keep girls' number on hand.
How does he know that?
A pair of tickets to Avenue Q playing May 17th through June 30th at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. It's a great room. You can go to metropolisarts.com for tickets to that. Family pack tickets to the Sycamore Speedway. Get your motor running. SycamoreSpeedway.com. Gift certificate to the Golf Center Des Plaines. GolfCenterDesPlaines.com. So bang on some balls out there, and you're going to feel better about all the people you're angry with. Lou Malnati's Pizza from LouMalnati's.com and an app gift card from ABT.com. Nothing makes the office crazier than when I give away the entire prize sheet to one person. They hate it. Congratulations, Carol. You're a big winner, and we're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I've been stuck in motion. 716 Walk of Fame Day. Much more to come on that, of course. And there's a very cool story that really is frankly underreported. We're going to bring attention to Andrew Holmes. Is doing something pretty amazing today. First off, Andrew, tell everybody who you are.
This is Andrew Holmes, community activist in the city of Chicago.
And Andrew, you have 24 friends that are 100 and older?
Yeah, 24 seniors that range from age 100 to 108 that are going to meet up today at the Salvation Army, 945 West 69th Street. They never met, but they will meet today.
It's the 100 Club, 100 to 108. Now, listen to this. Andrew, how you getting them there?
Well, I have 26 limousines going to pick up 26 different seniors that are centenarians, and we're going to be honoring them today at the Salvation Army, and it's open to the public.
How cool is this? Isn't that a great story?
That's a great story.
Now, my only concern for you, Andrew, is when you get them all in the same room, aren't you just going to hear, what? Huh? What? You know, I mean, they're not going to be able to hear.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to them. They got a lot of history, and we're going to be reaching back to embrace the history and just show them a lot of love.
Well, God bless you, man. What a good story that is. Now, where'd the idea come from?
Well, you know, seniors, when I visit the senior citizen home, a lot of them don't have relatives to come and see them. So when they said that they had three in one place, that was 100, four in one place, that was another 100. So I say, let me invent Club 100, bring them all together citywide because they never met each other, but they got a lot of history.
Now, when you get them to the Salvation Army, what are the activities going to be? They're just going to, you're going to feed them? What are you going to do with them?
Well, they're going to walk down the red carpet. They're going to receive some flowers, some gifts. There's going to be some vendors here just to give them gifts. We got entertainment that's going to be here. They don't know Michael Jackson impersonator will be here for them.
That's tremendous.
James Brown impersonator is going to be here for them. So they got a lot more entertainment. They got a lot in store for them. And then we have some raffle for them. But we got to show them some love because they were our future, and they still is our future.
It's such a great story.
Absolutely.
It's a tremendous story. By the way, the 108-year-old was born in 1910.
Yes,
1910, or what was that, 2 years?
Two years after.
2 years after the Cubs had last won their World Series prior to 2016. All right. Well, Andrew, obviously you're going to heaven. This is a wonderful thing you're doing, and I just wanted to make sure you got a little public credit for this. I know you want the credit to go to those centurions. Centurions? Centurions. One's a horse, the other is a 100-year-old. But anyway, you're doing a great thing, man. We're very proud of you, and we just want to make sure people knew what was happening today. So if the public wants to attend, what do they do?
They can just come to the Salvation Army, 945 West 69th Street. Come right on in, and like I say, we got plenty of food, plenty of entertainment. Come in, sit down, and enjoy, see what life was all about with these 100-year-olds and plus.
You're a good man, Andrew. You're a good man. Thank you for doing it.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
Well, there you go.
Andrew Holmes is a very interesting guy in Chicago. You know,
has he been on with you?
Yeah, he has. We did a whole big table with him. I did an hour with him. He becomes the de facto spokesperson for many families, especially those affected by gun violence.
I was confused. I thought he was a pastor. He's a community activist.
He really takes the role. You'll see him a lot on TV being the one speaking for the family because the worst thing in the world is to have to go in front of cameras and talk to reporters.
He's lost two family members, including a daughter. Right. And when we go out and cover different stories, the families feel comfortable going to him. So he's kind of a liaison. We'll say, Andrew, can we talk to the family and try and bring out
Wait, talk about paying it forward.
A little bit of positive, you know.
To losing two of his own kids?
Family's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But that's an amazing story. 26, he said? 26, I think. 2,600-plus-year-olds, including 108-year-old. Was 24?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And the coordination alone to I mean,
right?
To be able to put that together and to work with the different homes. And
and the vendors
amazing.
Getting together,
yeah,
and all that?
Yeah.
That's got to be the coolest red carpet, slowest moving, but the coolest red carpet ever.
I'd want to see the James Brown and the Michael Jackson impersonators.
Well, I was thinking about the Michael. I was thinking about the Michael Jackson impersonator. I'm like, so they were 60?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That's because that's what I thought. I'm like, they should have an Al Jolson.
Right. Well, maybe not Al Jolson.
Well,
maybe,
yeah,
somebody a little, yeah, later than Al Jolson.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Get up off of that thing and dance to do better. Get up off of that thing and dance to do. Sing it now.
Near West Side this morning. Get up off of that thing. 24 100 year olds and James Brown.
Get up off of that thing.
How much would you pay to see those 100-year-olds just sway into this?
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome.
Come on.
Soul Train Walker line.
How much would you pay to watch all of us? All of us.
Oh, this room's never been whiter.
I thought you were going to ask, how much would you pay for the impersonator? And I'm like, I've done that.
Yes.
The guy who actually is playing Michael Jackson, you mentioned it right there, Rico. I have actually paid out of pocket to have him come do a show with me.
I've done shows with Rico,
yeah,
or events or charity things or shows. Yeah. He's really good.
He's great.
Yeah. Cochran birthday gift for next year.
Yeah, there you go.
Studio.
Andrea's got it.
Mm-hmm. Want to say thank you to Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who invited me on his podcast. Now, here's what you're going to hear. When the Chicago Stories podcast goes up, I think they put it up this weekend, and when it goes up, one of the first things, unless they edit it, one of the first things you're going to hear is Mayor Emanuel talking about how I begged to be on his podcast. No. It was referenced, hey, you should put Steve on the podcast. I think Sandberg brought it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he was nice enough to do it. But that's the only cheap shot. The rest of it,
what'd you guys talk?
We had a nice time. Talked about the show, talked about media, talked about politics, talked about why I love Chicago and all the good things that are going on.
Did I come up at all?
You came up in the beginning, middle, and end, Super Joe, as you would expect that you would. But I had only been in the mayor's office once, and it was when Mayor Daley was nice enough to ask Mark Giangreco and I to do the Christmas light, the Christmas tree,
yeah,
turn the lights on the Christmas tree. And I had never, you know, gotten deep in the bowels of the mayor's office. The history in the mayor's office, the mayor of the city of Chicago, you know? I mean, it's just incredible.
Isn't it cool when you walk into City Hall and when you go up to, what is the end?
Five.
You go up to his office and you walk through and just the smell, I mean, of City Hall.
Smells like history.
Smells like history.
Yeah, it smells like history.
I know it sounds weird, but you go into an old building, even like if, you know, our hallways sometimes, when the pipes don't flood.
You can't get that. You can't get the cigar smoke out of those walls, right.
No. No, if those walls could talk, they'd never shut up. And a cool thing, in the mayor's office, when you go in, there's a picture of every mayor since Chicago was founded. And it's taken up the entire wall. And on the lower left is Mayor Daley. So what comes after Mayor Daley, when Rahm Emanuel leaves office, his portrait would go there. Well, right now there's a giant flower right in front of his spot because they've got so much space on there. So many, you know, portraits on that wall.
Yeah.
They're running out of space.
Oh,
was the mayor a good interview? Was he?
He interviewed me.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Was he a good interviewer?
You know what? Better than I thought. Huh. But I'm not comfortable being talked to when somebody's asking the questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How was that strange for you?
Yeah. Very.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very. But you know, he always brings healthy stuff in here. And I've got to give Maureen credit for this because she actually picked these items up. But I said, I need a bunch of crappy food for Rahm Emanuel. So brought him in Flamin' Cheetos,
mm-hmm,
little chocolate donuts, double stuffed Oreos,
nice,
and a giant bottle of regular Coke.
Mm-hmm. And he took that right over to the Greater Chicago Food Depository.
He actually handed it off to one of his staff members.
Did he really?
And they seemed quite thrilled because I'm guessing he feeds them the green stuff most of the day there.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it was. I'd recommend this, Chicago Stories. And you don't have to listen to the one I'm on, but there's some interesting folks that he talks to.
Was it difficult for you to not flip the script, to answer the question and turn it into a question?
Oh, yeah. I did it 13 times. And he kept calling me out on it. You know, my interview.
What do you think of Chicago? What do you think of politics in Chicago?
I did ask him some questions we haven't had time to talk about here on the show, but I think it'd be an interesting listen for folks.
Did you ask him about, and did he answer all of the mayoral candidates, all the people running?
I don't remember if we talked about that on or off the show. We did talk about it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, of course, was the Obama Center vote, so there was a ruckus on two yesterday.
You can hear the in the moment where the mayor gets up and shuts his door. You can hear the protests in the background.
Yeah, you know, five is a little too quiet.
It's too quiet
when you go into the mayor's office,
right?
You know, there's three security guys there, and I'm going, honestly, how do you guys stay awake if it's not something going on? Because it's very quiet, it's very peaceful, it's very serene, just have folks walking in and out. But, I mean, it is Chicago. It's all Chicago history right there. Yeah. That's the mayor of the city of Chicago's office. And, again, it's called Chicago Stories with Mayor Emanuel. So,
can't cool. wait to hear it.
And, by the way, just because he had me on doesn't guarantee he's going to get on this show again.
Uh-oh.
Good.
Okay?
Good.
You got to draw the line. So, but yeah, and he had Rainn Wilson on last week. If you think Rainn Wilson is just Dwight Schrute from The Office, for instance, just give that one a listen. There's a Martin Luther King piece recently. Anyway, some interesting stuff. If you love Chicago, Chicago Stories with the mayor. So there's that's a blatant plug he didn't ask for.
Sounds like he's going to have to step up his snack game if he comes back on this show.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if he came in and he was like 40 pounds heavier?
I ate all the food you brought me,
Steve. I got him on all the healthy. I got him off all the healthy stuff, yeah. And now he's eating nothing but little chocolate donuts.
I don't see that happening.
There are how many candidates running for mayor now?
Eight? No, seven.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's seven.
You sure it's not 212?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be, though.
But our friend Bridget Gaynor is still not announced.
She's still not announced.
Let's get her in here. Let's get her on mic to tell us that she's
there. Oh, we've asked. We've asked. Has she been on with you?
She has, and she's really good. She's
great.
She's good at the mental Olympics. She can jump around that question pretty quick.
She came in here once, and she said, I have a huge announcement to make. We said, what's your huge announcement? She goes, we got a dog.
Land bank.
But she kind of let it go for a few minutes, too.
So we got a dog.
People don't recognize that she's the second most money of any besides the mayor. And she's done that over time. She has a war chest when it comes to campaign money. So she definitely is poised to run for something, if not, you know, just continue to amass this financial or this campaign money. So it is interesting to be like, why do you have all this money if you're not running for something?
Be interesting to see what happens after regular election day in November and the mayoral fight starts the next day.
Oh, it's already started.
Right, if there's a runoff.
But, I mean, you'll get the heat then.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to spend a lot of money mixing up the commercials this with the midterms.
This is the best thing for Pritzker and Rauner. They get to take a little break, not spend another $1 trillion to put...
ugliness hasn't even started yet.
They get a break.
Speaking of Rauner, there is a story down in southern Illinois that is a big news story that's very disturbing, with 160,000 people not having access to water. Natasha Korecki from Politico was one of the leads on this, and we're trying to get her on the show this morning. We're trying to find her. She's in the middle of covering a bunch of things. But we'll talk to Natasha about it. And if you're listening downstate, I had no idea. And our best to you. We'll get to more of this in a second, and you'll do the headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I...
Walk of Fame today, Royal Wedding tomorrow. They usually go back to back.
Yeah.
And John was talking about your royal name, how you get your royal name. I have the E Channel's Royal Name Generator.
Oh, okay.
So our E Channel, it's fairly complex, but we can go through a couple of these here. John, write this down, because as I said, it's very complex.
Okay.
Take the first letter of your first name. First letter of your first name. In your case, it would be J, so you would be James. I am S. I would be Sheffield.
Hmm.
Andre, you're an A. You would be Ann.
Okay.
Justin, you're a J. You'd be James.
Can I change it?
No.
No.
Steve, you'd also be Sheffield.
And would I be like a Sir Sheffield? Or
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
All right. And then you're moving on. Take the first letter of your last name to find out your surname. Andre, you'd be Arathorn. Arathorn.
Okay.
C for Cochran, I would be Calhoun. Calhoun. Andrea D, Devante.
Oh, Devante. All right.
Mm-hmm. Justin, what last name are you going by?
I'll go with Kaufman with a K.
Okay. Yours is very eloquent. Kingston the Eighth.
I'll take that one.
Kingston V.I.I.
From 43rd.
Are you writing these down?
Yeah.
Kingston the Eighth.
I feel like I should bow to Justin now.
Yes, Kingston.
Steve G for Grafton.
Grafton Sheffield.
Jen DeSalvo, where'd you go? I'm way behind on you now. Why were you not on your microphone?
Ladies' room.
She's Devante, too.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to get the tape to you.
All right. I'll send it up.
I'm a Kingsworth.
Dave, you are Dalen. Dalen for D.
Dalen.
E is Ethelbert.
Wait, what is it? Ethelbert.
Say that again.
Ethelbert.
Ethelbert. E-T-H-E-L-Bert. B-E-R-T.
Okay. Are we supposed to write these down?
Yeah. Write these down.
Uh-oh.
You said I was Grafton, right? Grafton?
Yes. And then a title, we select the month you were born in. In my case, it's March, so I'm a sir.
Okay.
Month you're born in, Andrea?
August.
August, you are an archduchess.
Ooh.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dave, month you're born in?
May.
May, you are a baron.
Of course.
Ooh, a baron.
April.
April, John, you are a duke.
Nice. Darn right I am.
Aww. Yeah. I'm August as well.
Justin, you're an archduke.
Mm. Is that bigger than a duke?
January, you're an emperor if you're in January.
That's
Sabre. You're an empress. Empress.
What about June?
June would make you a queen.
Awesome.
Oh. Nice. What about November?
November makes you a prince.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Am I missing anybody? I'm losing track here.
Super Joe.
Super Joe. Yep. Birth month?
May.
May, what did I say? May?
No.
May, you're a baron.
Baron.
Mm-hmm. We're both barons.
You're a baron.
Yeah.
You're not clicking stuff on Facebook and putting all of our information in, are you?
No, catch up, honey. You're on the wrong show.
No, they don't do that on the e-news website. No way.
First letter, your first name, Jay. You're James.
Right.
Last name, what's your last name, Joe? What do you go by?
Oh, what do I go by?
Yeah.
Romano.
Oh, you're using Romano. Okay. Well, then we go to R. That's Remington the Third.
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm not doing that.
Like that.
Go to Netflix and search Remington Steel, Joe.
And finally, you need.
You're gonna love it.
Finally, you need an area of rule. An area of rule.
Okay.
Okay. An area of rule. This is the day of the month you were born. Day of the month you were born, Andrea.
I was born on a Friday.
Well, the actual number.
Oh, sorry, 11. Well, you said day. I thought
of Kendall.
Oh, of Kendall.
Of
okay.
Kendall. I am the 14th. I am of Lorne.
Of Lorne.
Lorne.
You're writing these down?
Forlorn. Are you writing these down?
Yeah, I got it. Forlorn.
But you're not writing down everyone's? You're just writing yours down?
Well, I assume that everybody could write their own
while I'm doing it.
Not in my contract. I don't write.
We're writing.
Yeah, it's radio.
That's right.
Dave?
30th,
Dave. We're going to give you, you're going to be excited, of Inverness.
Oh, good.
Oh, Inverness.
Justin?
Good.
Yeah,
15th, you are of Ross. Of Ross.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
It's like your son.
Yeah. Sandberg?
Ross of Ross.
I would.
Day?
The 15th.
15th, you are of Ross as well.
But I would like to know my full name. You didn't
Well,
do
you
my...
have to write it down. Steve?
The 19th.
19th would be of Albany.
Prince Grafton Sheffield of Albany.
All right. John, you are?
7th.
7th. Oh, we don't have one. No, the 7th is of Cumberland.
Oh,
near Harlem?
On that street. That's
near Harlem.
It's a good area.
So I'm an Empress of Ross.
Of Ross.
You're an Empress of Ross.
So where's my first part, the James part?
Easy. Easy. You're an M. You're Marigold.
Marigold. Okay, I can take that.
All right. And which last name would you like to use?
Boyle.
All right. Well, that's going to make you a Bainbridge the Second.
Oh, yeah. Hardcore.
So I'm Marigold Bainbridge the Second, Empress
Ross.
Of Ross.
You're Empress Marigold Bainbridge the Second.
Oh, I sound like I'm in charge.
Of Ross. Justin, who are you?
Yeah, I'm not sure I got it right, but I'm LeBron James.
Nope, that's incorrect.
That doesn't work.
That's incorrect.
Of Cleveland.
Steve Grzanich, who are you?
I am Prince Grafton Sheffield of Albany, sir.
Wow, congratulations. John?
I am Duke James Devante of Cumberland.
All right. How about you, David?
Baron Dalen Ethelbert of Inverness. Don't laugh at my name, please.
Now say that in an English. Awesome. Get an English accent.
Hey, Ethelbert.
Andrea.
Hey, Ethelbert.
I am Archduchess Anne Devante of Kendall.
All right.
And
Super
you.
Joe, you're not playing?
Yep, I already quit this game.
All right.
Who are you, Steve? Did you write you down?
No, I didn't write me down because I'm controlling the game. I thought somebody would write me down.
You can have my name.
Oh.
My stepdaughter, Catherine, just texted that she's a sir.
So. Oh.
Well, she could go with actually the other side of that.
Steve, I'll think, come I think back Colin with my was name. Part of your name. Colin, wasn't it?
Colin? No,
yeah. Colon's part of me.
Colon is now part of my also, name.
I wrote down Sir Colon of Tardy.
No, that's not true.
Listener John, he's adopted, so he's got multiple names, so he's confused as to how to do his.
Oh, that is tough. Yeah. John, hold on for the rest of the show. We'll get you an answer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. And we'll never be royal.
It's a one in our blood. You are listening to Sir Sheffield Calhoun of Lorne. We crave a different kind of
royal. Let me be
your ruler. I'd like to thank the ridiculous E-Entertainment name generator for that. Keir Simmons is on the phone covering the royal wedding for NBC, live from London. Good morning, Keir.
Hey, Steve. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing absolutely fabulous, as I'm sure you are as well. Are you wearing your fascinator?
I am not. I'm going to disappoint you and tell you that I am not wearing my fascinator. It is ready for tomorrow's big day, so folks will have to tune in to see what color I chose and the design. I have to tell you, Steve, I am standing looking out across Windsor Castle. It is absolutely beautiful. There are blue skies. I can see work happening. It's been happening all day to create this amazing kind of garden effect on one of the entrances to the chapel where the wedding will take place. You can just see the little things like that just give me a sense of how spectacular it's going to be. And the royal standard is flying above Windsor Castle, which means the Queen is there, and we know that she's meeting with Meghan's mom today. So, I mean, ought to be a fun of all, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. And make sure that all the proper high tea etiquette is followed. Now, tomorrow is the actual wedding. What is the weather forecast? Because it's always a little dicey.
It's looking good, actually, I think, which is always a big worry for any bride and groom, right? And royals, even royals, aren't able to control the weather. So it's looking good. And they are getting in place. You'll have heard through the morning that they have now decided that Prince Charles will lead Meghan down the aisle. So that big question has been answered. I think, you know, you can call that a conventional choice in an unconventional situation because, of course, Meghan's dad can't be here. You know, I think it would have been amazing to see Meghan's mom lead her down the aisle. But you should remember, there are millions of watching. The pressure on that is, and I think the royals would have decided that they needed someone like Prince Charles, who you know will carry off that role just flawlessly.
Keir Simmons with us, NBC News. Andrea, say hi.
Good morning, Keir. Well, I guess good afternoon to you, but we're so fascinated by this wedding. We're having these royal watch parties throughout the city here tomorrow and throughout throughout our country, and we're fascinated, I think, with some of the little questions like will he or will he not wear a wedding band? What's the protocol with that in the royals?
Yeah, it's a good question. There are those little things that you know only royals do or don't do, and a wedding band is one of those. They don't think it's kind of the done thing, really, royals, to wear a wedding band. I guess, in a sense, they kind of think that they shouldn't sort of belong to anyone in a certain way. William doesn't wear a wedding band. We don't know what Harry would choose to do. My guess is that he will not do that. It's a good question in this sense, too, is that this is a modern wedding where there are going to be so many things that are different, not least the fact that it's an American actress marrying a British prince, but also some of the things we know about the ceremony. For example, the bishop, the Episcopalian bishop, who's going to give a reading. That's, I think, pretty much unheard of in a royal wedding.
Sure.
And at the same time, this is still royal family. They are still traditional in many, many ways, and I guess the wedding band may well be an example of that.
All right, we're going to fast run out of time with Keir, but Justin, say hi to Keir.
Hi, Keir. It is interesting. It's a very unconventional story for royal family. Does that make it difficult to cover it when you're dealing with the contrast between the formality of a royal wedding and the fact that there will be so many unconventional moments that are brought into this event, this ceremony, this celebration?
Hey, Justin. You know, actually, it makes it the best. It's far more interesting to cover an event that has changes and is different. And something else about the royal family that people don't fully realize, they are adapted to changing. I mean, they have changed again and again and again to try and keep up with fashion and try and keep themselves looking like they're in touch with you and me. We all know that they aren't really in touch with you and me. They're royals. I don't know how rich you are, my friend, but I'm assuming you're not as rich as them. So
These are unusual people who are trying to, you know, make sure they present an image of a modern family. And I think many people are saying Meghan is going to really contribute to that. You know, I mean, people are talking about how much Meghan might have to change to join the royal family. Yeah. My question is, how much will Meghan change the family?
Bingo. That's a great point. Very good point. I'll let you go on this, and pardon me if it's a stupid question, but is a royal wedding reception fun? Is the party after the wedding fun? Do they cut loose? Is it McDonald's at midnight and a chicken dance? What do you do at a royal wedding reception?
I don't think it's McDonald's at midnight, I'll be honest. Knowing Harry, it will be fun. There will be a party. I know some of the folks who are going, they like to have a few drinks and a little dance. Apparently, Doria, Meghan's mom, is a great dancer. Meghan has said in the past, so... So there's all of that to look forward to. It's that really is the golden ticket. You know, that's 200 people who are invited to that evening reception. And it's going to be, some of the receptions are not going to be seated. They're going to be standing, which is good, because etiquette, if you are seated at a meal with the Queen, the etiquette says that when the Queen finishes eating, you have to finish eating too, which is for dieting, but not great if you're hungry. So it will be, I think, a fun night. That will go into the early hours, and we may get some stories.
Yeah, you know what else I heard, which is interesting? Let's say you get up to go to the bathroom, and you don't want your plate cleared. You're to cross your silverware above the plate. And if you are done with your plate when you leave the table, you simply angle your silverware up and to the right, and they will clear the plate. Other than that, it's low-key.
Aside from that, another great little factoid, if you find yourself invited to a royal dinner or a reception and you're sitting next to the Queen, for one course, will speak to the person to the left of her, and then for the next course, will speak to the person to the right of her. Yeah. That's just the way she does it. That's protocol. So if you sit there for an entire course and the Queen seems to be ignoring you, don't worry. You're not about to get sent to the tower. She'll get to you next.
That's standard here, too.
Sure it is. It's only standard here if you're not at the table you want to be at. Keir, great work. Enjoy your time, and congratulations to everyone there, including you, because we know that it's a wonderful presentation of something America is truly fascinated with, and that's the British royal family. It's Keir Simmons from NBC News. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Great to hear your voices.
All the best. That's Keir. And by the way, can I tell you something? We're not on right now, are we?
No, not at all.
Sandberg, the producer of this show, has got a major crush on Keir Simmons.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Yeah. With good reason.
Do you know about this, John?
We're not on. That voice.
We're on.
The British accent plus, you know, he's a good-looking dude.
That chin?
It's radio. Did you hear the one thing he said in there that I caught that would be a great follow-up is that he said receptions.
Reception.
Yeah, he said at the you know, with all, he didn't say with all, he just said with receptions. So there's more than one reception. There's going to be,
it's like
what?
Election
receptions.
Night.
It's like, so it's like an inauguration.
Yeah,
inauguration.
Inaugural balls. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So they go to multiple parties?
I think they do. The big one, the formal one's the one he's talking about, is the golden ticket. You got to be in to get the 200 invite, but there'll be a lot of satellite-type receptions.
Well, what if you're super hungry and the Queen's already eaten?
Oh, that's a good point.
She takes a bite and goes, oh, nothing more for me.
You take the drumstick.
It's almost swimsuit season. I couldn't take another bite.
You take the drumstick, put it in the suit coat, go to the bathroom, get on the toilet, eat the drumstick. It's a simple concept, John. It's a simple concept.
Let me tell you something.
I've done
if
that
you're eating
today.
In the restroom, I've never
I
been that hungry.
That's British etiquette to eat in the restroom,
I have
right?
never been hungry enough to eat in the restroom. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The heat tonight and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The Long Island Stone. It's like the Long Island Medium, but it's Steve Stone. He's only predicting baseball. It's coming up, and Steve Stone joins us. Let's talk a little White Sox baseball. Good morning, Mr. Stone.
Good morning.
Good talk. We got a win last night.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, but... last night, things seemed to fall in the right places. Texas coming to town is not quite as tough as Pittsburgh or St. Louis or any of those monsters in the Central. Don't tell David Kaplan, but there's 12 teams in baseball with better records than his beloved Cub. So I wanted to keep that on the down low.
Yeah, and, why don't you throw your headphones on, Cap, since Stone is actually heckling you right now. You wander off like a like an older person. What are you doing, man? Wandering off into
I
the woods?
I was told I was supposed to go outside. Hi, Stoney.
The show doesn't start for 45 Dave. Minutes. You'll be fine. Stoney just said what again, Steve, if you'd repeat that?
Well, what I said was, don't tell David that there are 12 teams in baseball with better records than his beloved Cub.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the playoffs don't start on May 18th.
Well, I am aware of it. Unfortunately for us, the playoffs will not start this year. But you remember what a rebuild looks like because your boys went through it, as did Houston and Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of other teams that won the World Series. And it, look, it's not pretty in a rebuild, but that's where the Sox are at this point. And taking three steps backwards to go five steps forward is the way a rebuild works. The Sox are right in the middle of it. It's fairly painful, and we're seeing it on a daily basis over on the south side. A
lot of talent coming, though.
Justin Kaufman, Steve Stone. Justin, question for Steve.
Yeah.
Yep, how about a mic? Would that be helpful?
Last night, it was so exciting to watch that game, and I'm sure the electricity in the ballpark for the fans that were there for the eighth inning. But my question is, once again, there was a little bit of... I guess nervousness about the ninth inning. Nate Jones came in. He plunked a guy right away. He felt like all that excitement was going to go away. Is Nate Jones the closer for the Sox? I thought it was going to be Rondon or somebody else. What did you think of the performance yesterday?
I think it's still closer by committee. It's a feel that Ricky Renteria has on a given night. I think, obviously, the best stuff belongs to Nate Jones, although Rondon's stuff is pretty good. What they're doing is trying to find somebody who might be part of the future, and I think it's a good idea to give Nate that opportunity. I think that was his fifth career save. He really has never taken over the job completely, and I think until you do that job, you don't realize just how difficult it is, because those outs 25, 6, and 7 are the most difficult outs in baseball, and it's more psychological than it is stuff-wise. We've seen some great 7th and 8th inning pitchers just fail when they move to the 9th. Not every setup man is going to be a closer, but I think the Sox would like to give Nate Jones a chance to do it. I don't think at this point they view that Rondon can do it consistently, although he will be given opportunities like he was the other day. But as far as Nate Jones is concerned, I think it's time to figure it out. He's never been really handed the closer spot. I think if you do that, then we'll really see if he's got it in him to do it. If not, you know, you can use a 7th and 8th inning guy. But Nate got the job done after hitting the first man last night.
Steve, how big a start is this tonight for Carson Fulmer, one? And what do you make of the plans for Carlos Rodon to make a rehab start tomorrow? Is it realistic to think that a month from now he's going to be with the White Sox?
Oh, I think it is realistic because he did throw an extended spring training. So he got many times to throw down there, and we're going to see just exactly how he comes out of this particular start. The interesting thing is that you get the first rehab start and probably get the second, and you can't really judge by the results of those two. What you want to find out is, as he goes to a third and fourth, is he going to really experience that dead arm period that most starters do? They experience it in spring training. So for all intents and purposes, this is Rodon's spring training. And yes, it's very important. Every time he goes out on a mound in a professional game, it's very important to him. So the Sox need him back. He has the ability to be a number one or two starter. We've seen him at his best look very good. I mean, he has more strikeouts and innings pitched in his short major league career. So the stuff is there. He's got a wipeout slider that he throws into right-handers that they can't hit. And when you can throw 95, 96 miles an hour, you feel pretty good about that stuff. The question is, after arthroscopic surgery, can he come back 100%? I believe that he can. He's young enough and strong enough to do that. And so the Sox do need him back because he is going to be part of their future. And they're building a future as we speak. As far as Carson Fulmer is concerned, there's still a situation where he's got to prove he can be a starting pitcher. Because right now, even though he was a first-round, eighth pick in the draft, he profiles the way he's been as bullpen best. I'm not quite giving up on him yet as a starter because I think the stuff is there, the movement is there, but he's got to show it. Potential has to translate into performance. If he can do that, then the Sox probably have themselves a good one. If not, well, look, their first guy out of the bullpen is still pretty valuable because now the whole game is a bullpen game. You don't have a good bullpen, you don't win. The Sox would like to build one of those, and maybe Carson Fulmer is one of those. His preference would be starting just like every other starting pitcher. He has a preference to start. I was no different. I felt the same way. I felt I could get the most out of myself as a starter.
Right.
I think Carson feels the same way, but now he's got to show it.
It's probably a tough question to answer, but when you got a team of kids like this, do you still get wins and losses in bunches? I think we have the losses part down. How many wins do you need to see before you feel like this team could get on a little mini roll?
I believe that wins at this point are irrelevant. To me, I don't have to see a whole lot of wins because I know what's coming. I've seen those guys that are coming. This is the team you're looking at now is not the team you're going to see. I would say if you look around the field, you can pretty much figure out who's going to be part of the past and who's going to be part of the future. And that is a sorting out process that will go this entire season. Eventually, the kids will come up, and there's no rush to bring them up. I've heard that a whole lot, and I believe that. So we're going to see these guys, and some of them are auditioning to be part of the future. So each and every timeout is critical for these guys. So as far as wins and losses are concerned, you can't tell a team not to win. That's why I really dislike the word tanking, because tanking connotes that the team is laying down and the team is doing anything but. They just have a lack of talent, and baseball is an unforgiving game. You go against a team with a lot of talent, maybe one game you can beat them or two games. And by the way, Texas is not that team either, as Baltimore, so this should be a decent homestand. But when you go against a good team, they show you why they're a good team. They take the game away in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. The Sox are in the habit of giving the game away in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, and lately the first inning usually does them in. But that is a sign of a growing team, a team that doesn't have enough talent at this point, and a team that's just waiting for some of their young players to come along. Every team that has won has gone through it to some extent, except perhaps for Boston and New York. But outside of those big money teams, and the Dodgers are still trying to figure out the magic, they can't do it despite all the money they've spent. But we've seen it time and time again that building from within means that you're going to have sustained excellence over a long period of time. Look what the Cubs are going through now. I mean, they're at the point where they've had sustained excellence. They make the postseason just about each and every year. They won the big prize once. Odds are overwhelming. In their short window, they're going to win it again. But bear in mind, Bryant is going to be a free agent. Rizzo's contract is going to run out. And eventually that window is going to close right around 2021, something along those lines. So they've got to make the most of what they have. With that in mind, I believe that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer will make a consequential trade, assuming that Pittsburgh and Milwaukee and St. Louis are for real. I don't think they're great teams, but I think they're good teams. And I think the division is going to be hotly contested this year. And I think the Cubs will make a consequential deal because they realize that that window is going to close in the not-too-distant future. And as far as the Sox, they're looking down the road. Not too far down the road, but down the road nonetheless. And you're going to see Kopech and you're going to see Jimenez. You'll probably see them both this year, but you'll see them late in the season. You won't see them anytime soon, I don't believe.
Steve Stone on Baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain Your Restaurants. Before we run out of time, Steve, I'm sure there's incredibly sweet and endearing words you'd like to say to your lifelong friend David Kaplan on the day that he is commemorized in Sidewalk.
Well, I certainly have kidded David a lot during the course of our long and sometimes torturous association. But I will say that this is well-deserved. I'm very happy that they are recognizing what a lot of us have recognized for a long time. There's not a whole lot of people that break many more stories than David Kaplan. I know there's not a whole lot of people that work harder than David Kaplan. I see him everywhere. He's omniscient and omnipotent. He's everything and everywhere. And as far as sports is concerned, for me, he's the number one guy in this city. So I really applaud what he's done and the effort that he's given. And David has been a good friend for a long time. But transcending that, I think you have to give credit to a man who works as hard as he possibly can. And David, who puts his family first and foremost, which is the best thing I can say about him, still works as well as anybody, as effectively as just about anybody, and gets more out of what he has talent-wise than anybody I've ever seen. Because he's not talented at all. But he gets the whole
thing. Thanks, Stevie.
Yeah.
I love
you. You know how beautifully that was threaded?
It was.
Because it was great, better, and incredibly sweet, and then he punched you right in the throat,
like he
man.
Walked
right?
me to the edge and then pushed me over.
But he was literally
so
the first one here in person to congratulate you earlier this week.
Yeah, he came in on the wrong day.
Yeah.
But that was beautifully done. For you kids who are looking on how to make tribute to a friend down the road and shove them off the building, take them to the edge of the building, show them the view, and then push them.
Textbook.
You're the best.
Yep.
Steve Stone.
David, I will be over there for the event today. I'm looking forward to it. I'm right down the road. I'm going to walk over, and I'm going to salute you.
You're the greatest.
Boy, salute you. That's
no, we don't want to know how.
That sounds loaded. Steve Stone. Thanks, on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain Your Restaurants. We have two of the Walk of Fame inductees of the Class of Five sitting right here. Pierre-André is not coming, but these two are here. And we got a Pierre-André clip and a little backstory to play for you coming up as well.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
David Kaplan and Mary Vandeveld are being summoned to go get into their positions. I just wanted to congratulate both of you again. Mary, thank you for all the great work you do on this show and all the great work you've done.
Thanks, Woo-hoo! Steve. Thanks for having me on this great show. You guys, my second family.
Yep.
And Cap, so and your beautiful family's here. And the grandbaby's
part
coming.
Part of my family's here. My daughter, Kelsey, and her husband, Johnny, are here. And my husband, Steve. Another
Steve.
Steve.
He looks great.
And the rest are coming shortly, we hope.
With including your grand squirt.
Yeah, she just turned one a couple days ago, and my 93-year-old mother will be here as well.
That's fantastic. Awesome. We'll keep an eye on her. She's shifty.
Yeah, yeah. I know she is. She's
and Cap,
beautiful.
I love Cap like the brother I never asked for.
There
and
you go.
He and I have been friends forever, and even though he turned into a traitor and sold out for a bunch of cash, he's still doing a bang-up job like you wouldn't believe. Every night on NBC Sportsnet, what time?
6 o'clock, yeah. And then 9 o'clock on ESPN 1000.
What time's that Blazer have to be back? You got it till midnight, or
this is one of my prized possessions, pal.
Did you see his shoes? They're awesome. He's
you look great, man. Really
Is that Is that one of the David Kaplan autographed on the inside ones?
Yes.
Oh.
And for those of you who have listened for a long time, amongst the old crowd that's coming in on your behalf, Dan Filato.
Dan Filato will be here. He flew in from New York this morning just for the day, flying back later. But he
it's
was
nice.
Our producer. Yeah. It was. It's amazing that he made that kind of effort. Tommy Waddle and Mark Silverman are coming. I mean, my mom is going to be 85 next week. God
She's
bless
coming?
Her. Yeah. She's coming. I'm going to have my kids here, my wife,
That's
my
great.
Father-in-law. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And the guy that reinvented this place that came back and started the Walk of Fame, Jimmy DeCastro.
The Deacon. Yes. I talked to him this morning.
By the way, you talk about traitors. Hello. Jimmy DeCastro will be here as well. So, this is what Dean described it well yesterday. He said it's like a family reunion every year when we do this. So,
yeah. It's amazing.
We
saw Lyle Dean out the window.
He looks great.
Roger Treemstra is out there.
And a shout out to Tisa Lasort and Dan Fabian, who were the people that hired me. They were amazing.
And Fabian usually comes to this as well, so hopefully we'll see him. Well, you guys get out there. Don't get in trouble with Marlene.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Got to save my seats.
Congratulations. Love you, buddy. Walk of Fame.
Woo-hoo.
Right there, you got two of them.
About to I can't believe you're that much older than me.
About to be planted in the sidewalk. David Kaplan, the elderly one.
Right,
and,
right.
And the lovely Mary Vandeveld.
Here you go.
9:29, and we're back in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Did you see Sandberg's royal name?
I did.
Empress Marigold Bainbridge II of Ross.
I like that.
Yes.
Do you think there's an irony there? Because Sandberg's now the executive producer of the program, and your son Ross was once a producer of the program as well. So
yeah.
It's kind of come full circle.
Well, what you said.
Yep.
I am Sir Sheffield Calhoun of Lorne. And by the way, I believe that's Lorne Green from Bonanza, if you're old enough to know that show.
Yeah, remember that.
And you are?
I was the Archduchess Anne Devante of Kendal.
All right, Empress Marigold, yes. We need to go live to our special guest in London.
Yes, he's in London.
Our special guest in London, who I believe is on line 7. And let me go there now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Who is this?
My name is Daryl Hebron. I'm from London, Kentucky.
Oh, I see. So is this one of those sister city things?
They sent me out. I write for the Cousinville Gazette.
Cousinville Gazette, okay. And
yeah, two cousins got married, and now we got 126 people in town.
And you're live in London.
They sent me over to London. I left right before Thanksgiving. Left out of Mobile, Alabama, took a steamer, went around the Cape of Hope or something like that, and then I ended up here.
Right.
I'm standing right in front of Birmingham Palace as we speak.
You're close on so many different items. So where will you be for the actual service tomorrow?
I'll be right outside the St. George Foreman Chapel.
Oh, no.
Again, he's
you
close.
Tell him. You tell
he's
him.
Close.
Well, you got to understand that London's like 4 days in front of us, so it's Wednesday here now.
Yes, I do understand that. And as a sister city in London, Kentucky, what sort of bond do you share? What are the similarities?
Well, we got tea.
All right. Is that the whole list?
Well, that was it. They sent me over. They said, hey, can you cover that Prince Larry Tegan Marbles thing? And I can do it.
It's, again, relatively speaking. What is it you would like the people back in Kentucky to know?
Well, these British people, they do something really weird. They're on the wrong side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And not just driving, they're walking on the wrong side, too.
I did not know that. That is breaking news.
I had the first thing is they ain't got no plates. I had fish and chips and newspaper. We got to get them plates. We got to do like some fundraiser or something like that.
That's fair. No, that is fair. How does a wedding in Kentucky differ from the wedding we'll see tomorrow?
Well, usually the bride-to-be and the husband have been related. So they all know one another from birth.
I understand. I see how that works. Now, as a follow-up question, we brought this up earlier today. The chin, the British chin is very important. The chin. And as the chin, you walk downstairs, a flight of stairs, the chin must be held in a particular way. I think of your own Senator Mitch McConnell, who has no chin. Is there any irony there?
Yeah, because he ain't got no teeth.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to, what was your name again?
Daryl Hebron.
Daryl Hebron from London, Kentucky, the Cousin sister Bill. City of London, Kentucky. Right. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we run out of time?
No, I'm sitting here with her mother, Dorian Gray, and we're just enjoying the scenery.
All the best to you. Are you wearing a hat?
Yeah, I got. They don't call it a hat over here. They call it a festival.
No, no.
He was close, like all the way through. He was close, just that close. Yes, all the way through. Thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate it. And my best of everyone in London, Kentucky.
I love America.
And he wants to come home.
In all seriousness about the wedding, remember when Kate Middleton got married and Pippa became famous because she had that really pretty dress on and had to fix Kate's train?
Mm-hmm. And she had a sweet booty. I think was part of it as well.
Yes. So I know Meghan is only having children, but somebody's going to have to come and fix her dress. Those kids are too little.
Wouldn't it be funny if they forgot that part? Like they did all the details. They locked it all up and they had nobody to take care of the bride.
I wonder who that girl is and if she'll be as cute as Pippa.
Wasn't Diana's train like a mile and a half?
Yes.
So don't they get heavy?
They do get heavy.
So do you need more than one person to be like the train wrangler?
I'm not sure. Like when you were in gym class as a kid and you played with the parachute and we all had to grab an, you know,
well, yeah,
aside.
You know what I was thinking though? A gym thing now that's very hot, right, is the rope whip.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So the rope whip, if you've been doing rope whips, this is perfect for the train on the dress.
Supposedly, if it's 27 feet long, you need four handlers or four people.
Oh, so it's one handler per
what is that?
That amount of feet.
Every 6 feet?
6¾ feet.
Right.
Is this another one of those math problems?
It's like a math problem like we had yesterday.
Yeah.
So exactly the lighthouse.
Right. We have some more potential names for the Pope movie still to come. Oh, good. And here on Walk of Fame Day, it's very exciting. It's getting very exciting out there. We had Justin Kaufman on the show to report live. I have no idea where he is.
He left.
I told him to come
no
back.
Idea. When he's going to be on again.
I know.
He took off. He was supposed to be on microphone now. Yeah. Let me just check. Justin, are you anywhere?
I am, buddy. I'm here.
There
I've been
you
standing
are.
By. I've sequestered myself stage waiting for my
your moment.
Hit.
Yes. Can you tell me what you're seeing out there now?
It's great. All the seats are getting filled in. It's sold out. It's free, but it's like...
it's sold out, but it's free.
Is getting their seats, and they're talking to different great listeners, longtime listeners here at WGN. I just lost a cab. I'm going to find her if we come back to her, because she's now found David Kaplan, so she's straight up done with me.
The weird thing about this, like, Jimmy DeCastro just walked in here with Mitch Rosen.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Mitch Rosen is one of the people I worked for in the past, and, you know, if I never saw him again, I'd live. But yet he walked into the studio just a second ago. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy DeCastro, who ran this place and started the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
He now runs all the
intercom.
Intercom stations.
Yeah.
It used to be the CBS station.
He still waved to CLTV and gave you bunny ears, though.
Yeah, he came in here, kissed me on the head, uh-huh. and which is like the mafia kiss now, I suppose. I came in here and assaulted a few of us and then left as well. This is just a weird day because you got people who worked here who you would normally not cross paths with or in and out. There's a lot of inbreeding going on.
It's a day of neutrality. It's like Switzerland.
yeah, it's like a NATO summit
without
the protests.
Mm-hmm. Just got a text. Spike Odell is watching us.
Spike's watching us now.
Spike is watching
us. What's up, Spike?
Everyone say hi to Spike if you wave.
Hey,
to
Spiker.
The various cameras in the studio. By the way, Spike sent a text about David Kaplan. And if you remember, some of the great back and forths back in the day were Cap and Spike. You were part of those, too, I think, weren't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Who, Dave or Andrea?
Dave.
Both of you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. So Spike texted and said, I would always call Kaplan Sir Scoop-a-Lot. Mm-hmm. Remember those days?
Yeah.
For many reasons.
Ask him about the time when he was still fairly new at WGN, when I ripped up his script.
He started doing scriptless sports.
Right.
Which is not a bad thing to learn.
Didn't he try to light his copy on fire one time, too? He had a match, trying to light it on fire.
And then he had him doing theme sports, which did not end as well.
Right, exactly. And after that day, he'd often refer to his sportscast as that scriptless sports to make it sound more conversational. I would say Spike being a smartass actually helped Cap.
He probably did.
Yeah. Remember, Cap's not in the Walk of Fame without Spike tearing up the script that day.
I think that's a fair statement.
All right, I don't exaggerate.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, please, for your sympathy, I don't mind.
Justin Kaufman live at Pioneer Court, where we're just minutes away from Bill and Wendy taking over and doing the annual Walk of Fame ceremony. Let me go back out to Justin. Who do you have with you?
All right. You know, there's so many great people out here, so many great, tremendous talent, historical at WGN, also great listeners.
John McDonough arriving to my left.
I'm kind of awestruck, to be honest. I'm also awestruck of the listeners here tonight or today. Let's talk to Cab. Cab, it's Carol Ann, right?
But, yes, it is. Carol Ann Gildykus Bliss.
Okay. And you're a WGN listener.
I've been a WGN listener probably since, by 1970 or 71, like when I first started college. Like, I'm thinking maybe Wally Phillips, and I worked for Tom at Federal Savings, and we used to advertise. We're gone a long time ago. But WGN Radio, it's my whole, not my whole entire life, but a big part of my life.
Wow, that's very sweet.
That great.
Very
and nice. So what is it about the station? Why do you keep listening? What was it over decades after decades that keeps bringing you back?
Chicago. You know, I'm born and raised in Chicago. Born in Inglewood, raised in back of the yards. Now I happen to live in Lakeview East. And, I mean, it's Chicago, talk radio, diversity, Chicago sports, passion.
How about
our city.
That?
I don't know what else to say.
Give her, hey, Justin, do me a favor. Give her all the money in your wallet.
All right, all the money, yes. That's a ton of money.
Tell him I've got my bets here.
Yeah, she's got her bets, her Preakness bets.
I'll take those, Carolyn.
Why not? Well, thank you. And as you look around, Justin, thank you very much for that.
You,
she was very great. Justin, as you look around, you want to just pick off a few celebrities there?
Yeah. Well, it's great to, like you said, I mean, Jimmy DeCastro's here. My couple seconds with him, as you mentioned, John McDonough.
Jay Blunk, my friend Jay Blunk's
all
arrived.
The staff is here from WGN. I see Steve
Bertrand.
These
are the Blackhawks guys.
There's all sorts of amazing people, as you mentioned. Dan Filato was here. I see Pat Boyle is here. Looks good. There's a lot of great people here.
And more importantly than any of those big shots, all the listeners that are showing up to once again take part in this Walk of Fame day.
There you go.
All right, Justin Kaufman, thank you.
Thank you,
go Sox tonight.
Yes.
All right, a few more of these Pope movie names. I'll give you a few of these. Some of these you may have heard, some of these you may have missed. Amongst our favorites, Breakfast at Pontiffany's.
That's one of my favorites.
262 Texter, it's hard out here for a Pope.
okay, that's just become my new favorite.
847 Francis the Talking Pope. A bunch of Star Wars entrants. Pope Wars, A New Pope, The Pope Strikes Back, Return of the Pope, The Phantom Pope, Attack of the Pope, Revenge of the Pope, The Pope Awakens.
Wow. Say that again.
I can't. I'll hurt myself. 630, The Popinator, Judgment Day.
Oh, that's good.
Huh? I like that one.
773, Gone with the Sin.
Wow.
Do we have to go to, you know, confession for reading these or laughing at these or liking these?
You know, I'm not Catholic.
Me neither.
So you don't?
Okay?
No, I'm good.
So, okay, good.
But I'm going to be in church on Sunday.
Will you say a prayer for me?
Sure.
Okay.
I got you covered.
Okay, great.
630, The Great White Pope.
Oh, that's good. Good. That is good.
And kind of a, you know, one that goes with it from 312, 50 Shades of White.
Oh, yeah.
Pope Venger, Eternity Wars. That's pretty strong. Ordinary Papal, Dude, Where's My Pope Mobile? Papal Fiction, Papal II, Ecclesiastic Boogaloo. And what's our favorite? I think we know.
Oh, come on, say it. You love it.
Pope Francis Geraci.
I know.
Mesothelioma's worst nightmare.
El donde esta?
That is so good. It's ridiculous. Bill and Wendy take over to the Walk of Fame next on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Pierre Andre, who will be honored today, appeared in what movie? Listen.
Be it known to all and sundry that Ralph Parker is hereby appointed a member of the Little Orphan Annie Secret Circle and is entitled to all the honors and benefits occurring thereto.
Signed, Little Orphan Annie. Countersigned, Pierre Andre, in ink. Honors and benefits already at the age of 9.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? John DeCoste remembered that from A Christmas Story.
And we've all seen that movie.
That's tremendous. So a salute to Pierre Andre there in that movie, who will be honored posthumously today. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who listens to this radio station every day. It's a cool day for us, but hopefully it's a good day for you guys as well. And thanks to that creep, Jimmy DeCastro. Without him, none of this would have happened. But happy Walk of Fame Day to all of our newbies.
Happy Walk of Fame Day.
And again, thank you. All we can say is thank you. Thank you so much for the support and the listening you give us every day. The legacy of WGN Radio is only because of people like you who care enough to turn it on. We got to go.